In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And they were on the road, ascending into Jerusalem. In our text, Jesus now begins a new path. He is pursuing a way he has never walked before. In Mark's gospel, Jesus spends the first 9 chapters journeying around the Sea of Galilee. He sows the seed of the gospel in the synagogues of Capernaum, confronts demons in the wilderness, catechizes the 12 in the private homes of his disciples. But now in Mark chapter 10, Jesus sets out in a new direction. He turns toward a new destiny. And they were on the road, ascending into Jerusalem. This is a crucial moment. Now the time of preparation is at an end. Words must give way to deeds. Images and parables must now be filled up with flesh and blood. The patience needed to sow and cultivate the seed must surrender to the urgency of the harvest. There is a time for patience, but patience must not be allowed to turn into procrastination. A lesson a student or two on this campus could learn. And so for Jesus, the patient preparation of the path is now done. Now Jesus will walk the path with urgency and determination. And he now calls us all to follow him with the same resolve. Indeed, throughout the beginning of Mark's gospel, as Jesus treads the shores of Galilee, he never asks anyone to follow him except his few chosen disciples. Even when the Gerasene demoniac begs to follow, Jesus refuses, sends him home to testify to his friends. But now, as he sets out for Jerusalem, Jesus calls us all to follow. If any man would come after me, Jesus now cries out with urgency, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. According to our Lord, the time has reached a critical point. It is the time for him who would save his life to now lose it. The time for the rich man to sell everything and give to the poor. The time for the camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle. For impossible things to be made possible. It is the time to leave houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, and lands for the sake of Jesus and his gospel. And so they were on the road, ascending into Jerusalem, and Jesus processed before them, and they were amazed. For Jesus, this path is not merely one among many possible avenues. This path is not subject to his choice, as if he now stands at a crossroads deciding to take the quickest way, the most scenic route, or the path of least resistance. No, this path is essential to Jesus' own identity. This road is a divine necessity for our Lord if he is in fact to be the Christ, if he is to be the Holy One of God. For of course, the path is defined by the one who walks it. But in turn, dear friends, the identity of the one who walks is now shaped and defined by the path. Isaac cannot be the seed of promise if he does not ascend the mountain or is spared by his father. David will not be the king after God's own heart if he refuses to protect the sheep or cowers in the sight of Goliath. Jonah will never become the prophetic sign of the Son of Man unless he willingly descends into the depths of the sea and faces the great fish. Job will never be the great hero of the faith if he simply surrenders in the face of Satan's cruel attack. And so now, in the same way, if Jesus is in fact to be the Christ, if his true identity is now to be made manifest, then he must make his way to Jerusalem. And it is for this reason that Jesus leads the way. Our text says that Jesus processed before them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. Jesus knows the path before him. He commands no reconnaissance mission to scout the road ahead. He sends no disciple to prepare the way. This road belongs to him. It is his to pave. Just as David had to be the first to enter the battle with the Philistines, the first to confront the strong man while the host of Israel cowered behind the walls of their fortress, so Jesus is now first into the battle. And he is well aware that the road before him is in fact the road to war. And yet as we take a first glance at this road to Jerusalem, the road that Jesus now describes for his disciples, it looks less to be a soldier's road into battle and more like a sheep's path into slaughter. For as Jesus now describes the road before him, he uses seven verbs, all of which now emphasize his passive posture, his submission, his willing weakness. The path begins with the Son of Man being handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. With this first verb, Jesus declares that his surrender to the enemy is in fact voluntary. It is the Father who refuses to spare his Son and now delivers him to this path, but Jesus now willingly suffers it. He embraces this way of weakness. He makes this road his own. And yet Jesus' willing weakness now only encourages his opponent's aggression. The following series of verbs reveal his opponent's aggression, their determination to control Jesus. The chief priests and scribes will condemn Jesus, actively hand him over to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, for their part, will mock him, spit upon him, scourge him, and finally kill him. Jesus' path is dominated by the active violence of his opponents. With assertive aggression, they will control Jesus. They will dictate his destiny. They will now define his identity. With these seven verbs, Jesus describes the way of weakness he is determined to walk. With these seven verbs, he emphasizes his passive submission, not only to the will of his Father, but to the aggression of sinful men. And yet, why walk this path? Why endure without resistance? Why allow his destiny to be controlled by unworthy men? Why allow his identity to be defined by the profane desires of envious men? Dear friends, Jesus shows no resistance. He endures it all because his battle is not with flesh and blood. He does not come to overthrow chief priests and scribes. He does not walk this path to conquer Gentiles or usurp Pilate's authority or to bring imperial Rome to its knees. He willingly submits to death so that he might in fact now face his true opponent. Jesus does not merely now seek to enter Jerusalem. He seeks to enter the strong man's house. He is determined to battle the strong man himself face to face. And like David, Jesus will face him without armor, clothed in mortal weakness, worthy of the strong man's disdain. Yet by his voluntary death, Jesus will descend into the very heart of Satan's power, and he will face the devil as a free man, even as Adam did in the garden. And yet the conflict that was merely begun in Adam will now be finished by Jesus. Many have in fact walked this path, but only Jesus will bring it to completion. Enoch walked with God, but he was translated to heaven before his death because it was not given to him to descend and face the strong man. Isaac could begin the path of the mountain, but his journey was interrupted because it was not possible for him to finish the path. Job fought bravely with Satan's attacks, but God limited the scope of Satan's power and spared Job's life because he was not the Christ, the Son of God. John the Baptist walked the path of martyrdom, But his martyrdom could only prepare for the true martyr who would now come. No, what the saints of old could only begin, Jesus will now end. And so to the seven verbs describing his road, Jesus adds an eighth. And after 3 days, he will rise. With this verb, the passive now becomes active. The suffering servant becomes the conquering warrior. The docile lamb led to slaughter becomes the lion who freely walks wherever he wishes. With this eighth verb, every attempt to control Jesus, to dictate his destiny, to define his identity, utterly destroyed. With this verb, the way of weakness becomes the way of power. And so, dear friends, if this is in fact the path before our Lord, if this is the road that now defines Jesus' true identity, is this not also the path that defines you, who are now called to follow him? And so shall we, in our fear of death, flee from the path of condemnation, mockery, and suffering that now unfolds before us in this darkening world? Shall we remain frozen behind the walls of our fortress even after our David has slain the giant? No, dear friends, let us put away the fear and the timidity and clothe ourselves with boldness and courage. Now is not the time for procrastination. The day is almost over. The urgency of the harvest is upon us. And so let us run with haste into the battle. Let us compete with one another to be worthy of his right and his left in his kingdom. Let us gladly drink the cup that he drinks and be baptized with the baptism with which he is baptized. Let us sell everything in this world and take up our cross and follow him. For Jesus' way is no longer merely the way of weakness, but the way of power made perfect in weakness. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever.